Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel once again. 1 Samuel chapter 27. 1 Samuel chapter 27. We'll start with verse 1. And David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." Then David arose and went over with the 600 men who were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. So David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's widow. And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more. And David said to Achish, If I have now found favor in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you?" So Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites, the Girzites, and the Amalekites. For those nations were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as you go to Shur, even as far as the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish would say, "Where have you made a raid today?" And David would say, "Against the southern area of Judah, or against the southern area of the Jerahmeelites, or against the southern area of the Kenites." David would save neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, saying, "Lest they should inform on us, saying, 'Thus David did.'" And thus was his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. So Achish believed David, saying, "He has made his people Israel utterly abhor him. Therefore he will be my servant forever." Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, "You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men." So David said to Achish, "Surely you know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever." I'll stop there for now. So the last time we had looked at David, we had looked at the two accounts in chapter 24 and 26 when he was running from Saul and he spared Saul's life on two different occasions, perhaps within about a year of each other. And we had seen at the end of chapter 26 how David, even though Saul was pursuing him, that David respected Saul and he respected the Lord and that he was somebody appointed of the Lord. And he had the right attitude and he knew that the Lord would provide for him. In some of the Psalms, we had seen this recognized and how he saw that the Lord was the provider and the protector in all these things. But when we start chapter 27, it seems like a very different David almost. It seems very soon after, we read chapter 27, verse 1, and David, despite all of this confidence he had in the Lord, he said he needed to escape from Saul because Saul was going to kill him. He seems to have lost this confidence somehow in the Lord, and he felt that he needed to take matters into his own hands. And as we go through this chapter, just want us to think about this with ourselves. How often we do try to take things into our own hands rather than maybe leaning on the Lord for certain things in our lives, big or small. But as I was reading through this chapter, that's the main takeaway I had here. So as we look through this chapter, we'll make some applications to that where David was thinking logically through his situation, perhaps rather than trusting the Lord as he should have. So we see in verse 1 of chapter 27, David is fearful, and we don't read of him consulting the Lord as in other instances. We don't read him of asking what should happen next or asking him to be helped or comforted. Was reminded of Elijah in 1 Kings, where he felt he was the only one left of the people of the Lord, and he had this enormous burden on himself, and he was trying to figure things out on his own. But we know that the Lord revealed himself to Elijah and he had a greater plan. But we see also how desperate David was, that he thought of a place that Saul definitely would not find him, and that was to go to Gath, which is the land of the Philistines, the chief enemy of God's people at that time. He had tried this once before, and we had looked at that in chapter 21, the end of chapter 21. And David had to escape from Gath that time by pretending to be crazy, pretending to be someone completely disoriented with his thoughts, and he couldn't even think clearly. And yet, a couple years later, he goes and decides to go back to this same place. This time, not just with a few of his men, but it's with his group has grown from 400 to 600 men at this point. And not only that, it's with their families and his family. And he's moving this whole group of people into the enemy land. But it was all selfishly, we might say, so that his life, his own life personally, would be spared. And he's thinking logically through this. But if we take a step back and we're reading this, we can see how that clearly is not what the Lord would have wanted for him, to enter the land of the enemies of the people. And not only that, but we find out that he stays there for 16 months. It's not a quick visit, and he comes to himself. He sets up a life there for 16 months. That's not a short period of time. In verse 4, it says, "And it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, so he sought him no more." So David's plan works, and David gains this confidence. And how often we might think of some of our plans, it's good to plan, I'm not saying that, but we might make a decision or think through something logically, and part of it starts to work, and we think, oh yeah, this is maybe something I should have done from the beginning. And it seems to add to David's thoughts that this maybe was a good thing for him to do. We do see in the following verses that there are some benefits from David doing this, but as we read through them, just to think that this is really God's providing hand that is providing these things despite of what David had done. God is the all-powerful one, and he can provide even in the situations, though they might not be perfect, but it's not by David himself making these things happen. But there are some benefits, but they really display the power and the protection of the Lord. So we see here that what would happen, David would live among the Philistines. Not only that, he lived in the same town as the king of the Philistines. He's as close as he could be to Achish. And he would go and raid these cities, and it would be enemies of the people of Israel. So maybe that's how somehow he would justify it in his mind, that he was carrying out what he should for the Lord. He was taking into his own hands to get rid of these enemies of the people. But then what he would do is he would tell the king of the Philistines that he was attacking these other areas that maybe the Philistines would have wanted. And he's keeping up this appearance that he's really helping the Philistines while he isn't. So that's maybe a benefit, but he's keeping it under false pretenses. And then there's also this city of Ziklag, verse 6. Achish gave him Ziklag, and Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. It became sort of a headquarters for David and his men for the coming months, and it's been the note was added that it was until this day, the day this book was written, Ziklag was still a city that belonged to the kings of Judah. Ziklag means pressed and shaped of God. It has this idea of pressure. And we can see that, of course, David was under this pressure, but it was God who brought it through. It was something that God provided, even though David thought, possibly at that time, that it was something that he had brought for himself. But as we think about what David is doing, as he would attack these cities, and he would go about this for a year and 4 months from verse 7, David is still keeping a secret from those he's living on, the enemies. he has to act like a servant of the Philistines. He's not being true to himself, and he's kind of taking it both ways. He's living among the Philistines, not where he should have been, and then he's sort of carrying out what the Lord would have for him, but he's not being honest to both sides. He's keeping that part a secret from the Philistines. And in all things, we shouldn't put up these pretenses to those around us, whether it's us with our brethren, those in the assembly. We're not to be one way when we gather and maybe a different way at home or at work or these other things. As we're studying Paul's letters, he alludes to this, that we're to be true to who we are and not behave differently with different groups of people that we might interact with. And David was so convincing of this that he just gets deeper and deeper. He actually becomes to be trusted by the king of the Philistines. He gets so invested in this new life that verse 12, Achish says, "He has made his people Israel utterly abhor him, therefore he will be my servant forever." How awful that something was said of like that to David. Even if it was something that wasn't true, perhaps entirely, this is what somebody in the world, we might say, the Philistines, was saying of David. And how tragic that was, that one of the enemies would say that David was going to be his servant forever, and that David's people utterly abhor him. He changed so much that his people hated him. Now, he wasn't attacking the people of Israel or the allies of Israel like the king of the Philistines thought. But still, if those words were said to David, or those words were said to us, even if they're not true, you would think that immediately something would be said back to say, no, that's not true, or something to rebut what this king would be saying. So just to think and apply that to us, if somebody was to say that, oh, you don't behave this way as a Christian or as a believer, and we don't say anything, that's what I would equate this maybe to. Do we have an answer to give if somebody were to say something that we are against the things of God? We don't see David say that here. And in verses 1 and 2, David had a chance to do that. The king says that David will continue to go out and fight the battle, and this battle is against Israel now, the actual people that David is supposed to be king over. He's already been anointed to be king over this people. And David says, surely you know what your servant can do. He didn't commit one way or the other, but he's not saying that I definitely will not do that. And Achish again gains this confidence that he will have David as one of his chief guardians forever. There's no signs that David would change his ways and go against the enemies, which are the Philistines. Now, chapter 28, the rest of the chapter is interesting. Not going to read the whole thing, just a couple verses, but just to summarize what happens here, while Saul has paused from hunting David, Saul is reaching out to the Lord, and we know the Lord had departed from Saul. He's reaching out to the Lord himself. He's reaching out through the prophets. He's reaching out, and the Lord is not answering Saul. So what Saul does is he seeks out a medium, somebody who would perform a seance, some demonic activity, and he can't find one because Saul had outlawed all of those kind of individuals from the land. And his people finally find someone who still practices this, maybe undercover, it seems. And Saul disguises himself so that this individual would actually help him. And he asks to speak to Samuel. And it's very interesting in these verses here that it does actually look like Samuel speaks, and he speaks to Saul. The woman realizes that it is Saul, but she is able to do this, and this is just, again, very interesting. Samuel had passed away a couple chapters earlier, but I'll just read here verses 16 through 20. to relate it back to David a little bit. So chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, this is Samuel actually speaking, and he says, "So why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. So we see what we had already known, but Saul was reaching out trying to get an answer from the Lord, and Samuel says, why do you continue asking? You know that the kingdom is not going to be yours. And we had seen this in chapter 15, when Saul was commanded to utterly destroy the people of Amalek, and he didn't do it. He saved some livestock and some individuals and the king alive. And Samuel had to tell him then in chapter 15 of the sin he had committed. And it was starting from then that Saul was instructed that the kingdom would no longer be his. And we see all this, and we see Saul, and Saul is told that the next day during this battle that he and his sons would no longer be alive. And we would see that this comes to pass in the coming chapters. But to focus on David in this instance, he says, the kingdom has been taken out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. If this was a movie, and we had Saul on this side, and he's having this interaction where David is going to be the king, and he's the one who is the godly individual, but it has this meanwhile, right? And we see David where he is. Meanwhile, David is with the Philistines. He's supposed to be the king, but he's in the complete wrong place. So we'll read chapter 29 and go through the next verses. This chapter 28 is kind of while these in this year and 4 months where David is with the Philistines. This is happening towards the end. And we see David, who's supposed to be the king, is still with the Philistines here. So we'll read chapter 29. "Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Then the princes of the Philistines said, 'What are these Hebrews doing here?' And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, 'Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with thee these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me.' But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, 'Make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him. And do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said to him, 'Surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright. And your going out and your coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you, since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines.' So David said to Achish, 'But what have I done? And to this day what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?' Then Achish answered and said to David, 'I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to battle. Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you. And as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart.' So David and his men rose early to depart in that morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel." So we see that as the Philistines are preparing for battle, they would have had all these soldiers and all the fighters pass before, kind of to review the status of the army. And David and his men come up at the rear, sticking with Achish. It's almost like David still was kind of hiding in this land of the Philistines. And there's this, maybe it's jealousy almost, of the other lords and princes of the Philistines to say, what are these individuals doing here? Somehow over the last 16 months, they hadn't really noticed somehow, which is probably what David would have wanted. And he is noticed by these princes, and these princes complain almost to the king of the Philistines. Why is he going to fight with us? He's going to perhaps turn on us. He's one of our enemies. And again, this song, or this line of a song, is said in verse 5. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. This song would have traveled even to the Philistines during that time. It would have been something the Israelite women in chapters before, they would sing this song to proclaim David's worth and his strength. It would even come to the Philistines. David had this reputation, and we see how he completely squandered it in these last couple chapters. And you would have thought that before he had a chance, when Achish was talking to him, that he would be a servant forever, and he didn't speak up then. And now it's said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. That was sung directly after he defeated Goliath. And we remember how clearly the Lord had provided in that instance. So you would think that, okay, maybe this would bring David back to think of these things and how the Lord provided for him. But we see in the coming verses that's not the case. Achish continues to defend David, saying he's been here for so long. Achish doesn't even remember how long he's been there. It says in verse 3, he's been with me these days or these years. He can't even remember the actual time, because David was so, he fit in so well. And how tragic that is. He defends him so that David wouldn't be rejected. And he calls him, he's very complimentary of all the work David did. He says in verse 6, I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Now, if that was somebody of the Lord, I haven't found any evil in you, that'd be a good thing. But coming from someone evil, I haven't found any evil in you. It's a double negative there, I guess. That's not what you want to hear. And that's not what we should be. If we are in the world and we are said by those in the world, there's nothing different or wrong about you and you're behaving the same as us, that's not how we should be as we would live out our lives. He calls him in verse 9 as an angel of God. That's a very perplexing term, but again, it's completely in vain. David was by no means behaving as an angel of God if it's the king of the Philistines who's calling him that. And ultimately, it's the displeasure of the princes and this jealousy that leads Achish to send him away. If David had his way, he would probably still have been with the Philistines, trying to stay there and assimilate to them. But it's Achish, and I would say this would be the deliverance of the Lord that caused this to happen. David was in no place to decide for himself to leave this area. He would have continued to stay. But it's this situation that comes up that allows for this. And we see in verse 11, David and his men rose early to depart in the morning. But where did they return to? They returned again to the land of the Philistines. Now, David would eventually leave the land of the Philistines. He's leaving this area of battle. He's not going to go in and fight the Israelites. I really wonder what he would have done. Verse 8, David tries to stay. He tries to convince Achish, what have I done that I might not fight against the enemies of my lord the king? I really wonder what would have happened if David got his way and was able to stay in this battle. I don't know how that would have gone. Perhaps David was saying this thing just to keep up with his appearance. But thank the Lord that he was sent away and he was not in that situation. He goes back to the land of the Philistines. He didn't flee completely. He went back from the battlefield back to, I guess this would have been him and his men, but they would go back to where I guess their families would have been so that they could prepare to leave. But still, that's very striking, that sentence, that David, they went and they returned to the land of the Philistines. That was their home base for that much time, and that's where he was coming back to. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel, so they would continue on to this battle. So as we read through these chapters, we see David is clearly not where he should be. He is so intent on his appearance and how he would show himself. He was so worried about his own safety that he tried to logically come up with a plan to avoid that, and it led him completely in the wrong direction. And as we think to ourselves, maybe there's a time or some times where we have tried to do that ourselves, and we find ourselves in a position that we know we shouldn't be. And we have the Lord to trust, and we have the Lord who will come into our lives, who hasn't left our lives, even though it might seem that way, and he will be able to deliver us. But we see some of these words that the king of the Philistines would have said to David, and if we apply them to us, these are some things that we never would want. I would say the Philistines being a picture of the world, and this is the king of the Philistines, we would never want the world to say of us that we kind of fit right in with the world, and we kind of are against the things of the Lord, even taking that even a step further. So just to highlight these points in the life of David, we see there have been a couple low points already, but this is maybe one of the lowest where David would strive to be in this area. May we learn from these instances of David, and as we try to lean on our own understanding, let us not do that. Let us lean on the Lord in our circumstances. And as we interact with those around us in the world, let us not be trying to hide what we are as believers, and let us stand firm for Christ in all these things. Amen.